disintegrating because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, church camp for adults. That's what they call it. That's what we're doing down here today in Panama City, Florida, church camp for adults. And I want to say this right up front. I don't say this to make anybody feel guilty in any way, shape, or form. You have got to get to one of these things for the synergy, the spiritual synergy that exists when these crews get together. I'm just telling you. Now, it's only been about 24 hours for us because we got in late on Sunday night. Some Pete came in yesterday. And so it takes a while to kind of plug in with who you plugged in with. And then all the different personalities in here. And nobody, I'm just telling you. Chad Estes is the one that called it church camp for adults. And it's, you know, we come down here to serve, but we leave here. Really, really encouraged. I'm really encouraged this morning, and got a lot of stuff that I'm trying to fix my watch here. A lot of stuff I want to share with you today, but I want to make sure that the Lord wants me to share it, you know? So we're just going to see where the Holy Spirit takes us. We're going to do a testimony here this morning from Tree Limb Jim. You say what? Yeah. Tree Limb Jim. I'm going to get Tree Limb Jim. That's a story. I'm trying to fix my watch still. I'm not, it's distracting. I know when the host isn't looking at you. We're going to get Tree Limb Jim in here. He's going to talk. I'm going to have a testimony tomorrow. John Hartzler is going to tell us a story tomorrow. I've been up here for a couple hours, right? Pete Lindblad's over here complaining because he didn't get sleep last night. I told him to toughen up. So he'll get there. He'll get there. But just amazing testimony tomorrow, and amazing testimony today. And I know that we're all distracted about the Supreme Court. Now, let me say, I'm just going to say this, and then I'm not going to say anything else about it. Folks, the church will end abortion. Not Kavanaugh, not John Roberts, not Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg. It's going to be the church that's going to end abortion. Abortion's going to end. Everybody's all like, well, they, you know, that dude, Kavanaugh, he's a traitor. See, he's a traitor. He could have, well, first of all, it wasn't even about abortion, wasn't even about Planned Parenthood, but they're making it about Planned Parenthood because, again, they want to discourage you. See, they're all about discouragement, right? Keep your eye on the ball. Quit taking the fake, okay? Quit taking the fake. And if those of us who carry the name of Christ, if we get involved and we do what we're supposed to do, if we can look at the White House, quit looking at the Supreme Court, if we quit looking at them, maybe we're going to move the ball forward a little bit. But as long as we're sitting back saying, oh, Jimmy, I've been out here, I've been working at this for 40 years, and then we get a new Supreme Court justice, and he's on the other team. Just go to Facebook and look around at the crap that's being said out there. It's no wonder we lose. Listen, the devil is squirming like he ain't never squirmed, ever. And we're surprised that he's doing bootlegs, he's doing flea flickers, and he's throwing double pads. We're surprised about that? We're surprised that he amped up his game a little bit? Dude, come on, wake up here. I'm not going to talk about that stuff today, although I feel deeply. I got to show you this right off the bat. Welcome. We got room for more of you. Come on and jump on in here. I got a live studio audience over here. We're going to pull some of them in here in a second. I sent Jared here this morning. I'm kind of distracted. You know why I'm distracted? Because Victor won't shut up the whole time I'm trying to get my show ready. Just kidding, Victor. Just kidding. I'm trying to gather myself here. I made a note here. I'm going to ask you this real quickly. I was going to show a video of, you know, we've been talking about Chris Bradley, the guy in the weatherman in Columbus that died of, my wife cautioned me. He didn't die of AIDS. He died of leukemia, but it was a AIDS-related leukemia. So my wife said, well, you ought to quit saying he died of AIDS. Okay. He died, whatever. And Lowell sent me a video this morning of Chris Bradley and his faith, and I listened to it, read something about it. Let me ask you something, folks. Why don't people use the name of Jesus? Why do they say God? And I read and listened to this whole testimony of God did this and God did this and God did this and God did this, and I'm following God and God's with me and God's carrying me and I don't know how to make it through this without God and God. Which God? Which God are you talking about here? If you serve Jesus, why won't you say it? Why don't you use the proper proper identifier, right?
Amen.
Thanks,
Amen.
Robert. God? Which God? We know from the Ten Commandments, there's many gods. I'm the Lord thy God. I'll have no other gods before me. So there are plenty of them. And so he goes, well, God bless you, brother, and God this, and God this. And we think they're our brothers in Christ. Come on, man. Wake up. And so I read Chris Bradley's testimony, and God's carrying him, and I know God's with me. And I'm reading, and I'm looking for that J word. That J word, that Jesus, the one that makes everybody squirm when they hear that name.
His name is Jesus.
Brother, if you use that name, they think you're a freak. We got to start using that name. I just want to throw that out there because I think it's important. I got someplace I want to take you today if I can. But hey, Jared, pull up. 2 Corinthians, get that up on the screen here for us. I want to ask y'all a question out there. You guys take the Bible literally. Are we supposed to take it literally, or is it just figuratively? Do we really, really mean it? So I said, Jared, pull up 2:6, and I'm looking here on my screen. I'm amped again today. I don't know if you can tell that. I'm amped. We had a lot of good work done yesterday. Hey, Jared, let's see. Let's start at verse 3 and just see where this takes us. Oh, right. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hey, right now is the day. Right now. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, and in necessities, and distresses. Boy, that won't fill a church, will it? That paragraph right there, is that going to fill a church? What we're going to prove of all things where? As ministers of God, where? In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults. Yeah, your best life now, right? In labors, in watchings, in fastings. Huh? Wow. Roger, I don't think you hear much of that your church you're in. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not. I could preach on this. I'm not going to. I'm heading someplace. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. See, it's that dichotomy of the spiritual world, right? The spiritual world, the natural world, the spiritual world. You're going to live in the spirit. You're going to walk in the spirit. You're not walking in the natural. You had all this sorrow, yet you got joy, right? You're poor, yet you're rich. You have nothing, yet you got everything. It's that dual kingdom dichotomy. Say with me. Oh, ye Corinthians, he said, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, but be ye also enlarged. Here it is. That's where the coach is heading today. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Wow. Look around your life and in how many different places you are yoked together with unbelievers. You know what the magic is in this room? Go ahead, Vic, give me a little bit of cream in that too. Just about right there, a little bit of cream. Ain't no unbelievers here. We're yoked together with believers. It's amazing. the synergy, right? So you walk into your church and your church ain't alive and your church ain't flourishing. Can I tell you why? You're yoked together. A lot of unbelievers sitting right there in that church. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Be ye not unequally yoked together. Think about, think about the government. Think about the taxes you're paying. They're taken out of you and you are unequally yoked. See, Lord, I wish you could. Okay. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light and darkness? And what concord hath Christ with the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What's going on? And you look at the American government, and the American church is subservient to the American government. And can I tell you something? This separation between the church and state thing, there's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. And you know where I'm unequally yoked, right? Boys and girls, I hate to tell you this. Every one of us are unequally yoked together with Planned Parenthood. Every one of us are unequally yoked. Why? Because we're paying our taxes to kill those babies. We're unequally yoked. They said, what the heck are you doing? What are you? There's no fellowship with you and Planned Parenthood. Vic, am I doing okay? Huh? Right? Yes or no? Yeah. Unequally yoked. What's a yoke? Jared pulled that up there. A yoke is a piece of timber hollowed or made, curving near each end and fitted with bows for receiving the necks of oxen, by which means two are connected for drawing. From a ring or a hook in a bow, a chain extends to the thing to be drawn or to be the yoke of another. See, we put on the Lord's yoke because the yoke of the Lord is not burdensome in any way, right? So we are yoked together. Everywhere we look, we're yoked together with unbelievers. And amen. And he told us, don't do that. Stop doing that. We want to love everybody and bring everybody into our churches. And you look around and there are people that you are yoked together with in your church. They don't even know. They won't even use the word Jesus. Oh boy. Oh boy. I'm not going to camp on this, but this is really strong. There is such a spirit here with these 16 people, 17 people now. There's something to this. Now, I don't know how we withdraw from it. I don't know how we can be in the world, not of the world. I don't really know exactly how that's supposed to work. But I'm thinking more and more and more and more. And as I watch the reaction to Kavanaugh voting with the liberals, they said he didn't. I don't want to get into that. See, we're so stupid. We don't understand what the whole thing was about. It wasn't even about abortion. But again, we're unequally yoked. When you're unequally yoked, it requires compromise. And can I ask you, boys, which side's doing most compromise? I'm going to take a drink of my coffee on that one. Vic, which side's doing most of the compromising, right? We're unequally yoked. Somebody's got to make the compromise, and who does it? Mwah! We do. Why? Because we're supposed to love everybody, right? Love everybody. Just show them the love of Jesus, coach. Yeah, and they're eating our kids. And they're eating our culture. They're eating our society. They're eating everything. Why? We're unequally yoked. This is good. And it's deep. It's deep. And these are things I really believe that the Lord is serious about. And he's going to bring his thing to a head. He's going to bring it to a head. I'll shut up a minute. Anybody got something to say? Rescue me from what I just said there? It's either real or it's not. Get tree climbing Jim over here a minute. Nobody's got anything to say about that? Unequally yoked? See, we talk about marriages. Are you unequally yoked in business? You have non-believers working with you?
Huh? Yep.
Go ahead. I heard somebody. Come on in. Well, nobody's saying much.
You know, we're unequally yoked in all kinds of ways. And one of them is by following traditions and the way we've learned stuff.
Yeah.
In some of our basic, quote, Christian activities.
That's my point. We're unequally yoked together in our churches, let alone in the world. Right? And let's be honest, everybody's got their own theology, and everybody thinks their theology is right, and they won't. We got Christians who are unequally yoked in business dealings with the world who won't fellowship with other Christians because they don't share the same theology. And you tell me we're not sick. Huh? We're sick. We are sick puppies.
Now, we're supposed to come out and be separate, but yet, if you try to do that, they call you a cult.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anti-government. You're anti-government. No, I'm pro-God government.
Caesar called the early Christians a cult.
Yeah, so there's nothing new. Nothing new. I got a story I'm going to tell you here. Actually, we're going to hear a story here. We're sitting in here like it's we're an hour behind you guys. So it's like 6:15 now. Excuse me. Isn't it? What time is it? How many we got in here? 36. We got room for some more. Come on in here.
It's my time, Coach. My time.
All right. It's Denny. I'm on the same time as Denny. And I'm sitting in here yesterday. We're getting ready to. We don't know. We come here in the morning. We go down to the church. And there's a little bulletin board down there that tells us the jobs that need to be done. So we went and got our charge yesterday. And we're sitting around here having just getting ready to go. And some guy comes walking in the door. He says, "Hey, can I have a cup of coffee?" I said, "Sure." I don't know. The guy started asking some questions. He says, "I'm Tree Limb Jim." So what? "Yeah, I'm Tree Limb Jim." He goes through it and tells him yada, 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 yada. Next thing I know, he starts talking about the Bible and stuff like that. And so I didn't know what to think for sure. And I said, "Hey, maybe we can use you today. Tell me how to pawn his saw. He's got a good $700 saw. He had to pawn it." And I said, "Hey, I think maybe we can use you. He didn't have any money, broke, willing to work. So I think maybe we can use you." I just didn't really know, right? Anybody can tell you a story about anything. So I took old Tree Limb Jim and we went out, did this job. And I'm telling you, we could not have done the job without Tree Limb Jim, because he's been trained. He knows how knows how to cut it. Anybody's done it. You just don't saw a tree off at the bottom, right? These trees are laying down. They're pinched in together. It's all kinds of So he became part of our team yesterday. He's part of our team today. He's from Apopka, Florida. But this is just for some of you out there who were I was having a conversation. I'm going to turn this a little bit, Jim, so you can see yourself in there. Here's Tree Limb Jim.
Morning, y'all.
Jim, just tell him a little bit. Right here's our microphone, buddy. Just give a little bit of your testimony there, bud.
Well, my name is James Vincent Burke. They call me Tree Limb Jim. I'm from Apopka, Florida. I've got 18 years of sobriety. I was serving the devil hard. I lost my dad at a very young age.
Tell that story real quick, Ed, Jim.
Well, it's kind of atrocious. My dad did two tours in Nam. He cut my mom's throat at 2:00 in the morning. I was able to keep her alive, get her to safety, but he turned around and slit his own throat. And that's where my
life. Yeah, so your life starts there. That's pretty good, isn't it, folks?
So I was just a real bad, hardcore alcoholic, liquor and drug, sex, and rock and roll. I was serving the devil, and I didn't really think God existed. The Lord works in mysterious ways. I've traveled all across the United States hitchhiking.
Hell raising.
Yeah. And ended up in El Cajon, California. There's a place out there called Calvary Ranch. I met some folks down there. They prayed over me with the deacons and the elders of the church. And I accepted Christ. I humbled myself. I got into the Word of God. And things went very well for quite a while. But then again, you know,
dog returns to his vomit. Got to get back some of that alcohol and stuff, right, Jim? Have some of that sex and all that stuff.
So many years passed, and I got back into the drugs and alcohol. But I've been sober since November 1st of 2001 at 7:31 in the morning was my last drink. I don't socialize with anybody that drinks, does any drugs. So I'm more of a hermit. And I say to myself, I just don't really feel compelled to hear the violin stories. I'm just not into it. I've got three brothers. I love them. But, you know, they still all drink every day. And
what do you mean by violin stories, Jim?
Violin stories.
Woe is me, huh?
Woe is me. Yeah, type deal. So I just say to myself, I try to hang around good Christian people. I come down from Apopka, Florida. I've been volunteering with the Southern Baptist Florida Disaster Relief Team for about the last month, and something went wrong with me trying to help somebody else out, and it kicked me in the kneecap. So it left me stranded down here. I ran out of fuel, had to pawn my pole saw, and I come up to the church yesterday to volunteer to help set up, see if I can get somebody to help me cover the insurance on my truck.
They were having a concert here last night, so he was going to come and do a little bit of work. Hope maybe they'd give him some money because his insurance was running out today.
Yeah.
So, $110.
So this gentleman right here, the coach, he helped me out. I mean, I work for it, but I mean, I wasn't really asking for any money. But the Lord works in mysterious ways.
I hired Jim right on the spot. I said, listen, I didn't talk money. I said, you come and help us. And I wanted to see what he could do, right? You know? And so we get him out there, and he's tree limb Jim. Ain't no doubt about it. He was up there. Oh boy. I don't know if we can do this. This is backwards. This is on Victor's phone. You can see that, you know, Jim up there doing his thing up in the trees. And so after I watched him for about a bit, you know, folks, listen, this is so critical for us to understand. I've been around the block, right? Vic, you can have that back. I could have said, well, brother, I'm so sorry about your insurance there. Can we help you? Can I help pay? I said, no, I ain't going to do that. I said, listen, hey, buddy, I'll hire you for the day. How about? I didn't say how much. I said, I'll hire you for the day because I want to find out what was going on. Here's a lesson for you. If they won't work for the money, don't give it to them.
Amen. Amen.
And he jumped right away. He never said how much. He said, yes, sir. And he came. Next thing I know, he's up in that tree.
Amen, brother.
And so we paid his insurance last night. I said, I'm going to give you $100 a day, man, if you'll come and work with us. See, folks, this is the kind of stuff that we do, right? This is I could have given him $100 and he could have helped paid his insurance yesterday and never seen him again. And now there's a relationship built here. He's part of something. And he's going to work with us the next four days. And so I was trying to tell the guys here this morning, here's what one of the things I hope the Lord will help every one of you learn to do. When a guy walks into a room, and instead of you looking at him and assessing how he can help you, look at a guy and say, I wonder what his skill set is. And that's exactly what happened when Jim walked over there and got that cup of coffee yesterday, and I began to talk to him, tree limb Jim. He starts telling me, and he starts talking about the Lord coming out of his mouth right away. And I'm listening, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking, is this guy playing me? Is he playing me for a fool? And he isn't. So we came down here, 16 guys from all over America, picked up tree limb Jim, helped him get his life heading in the right direction a little, temporarily. He knows where he's going on, but he ain't out begging. He ain't out holding the sign. We'll work for food. Nothing like that. We hired him, and he's been a real blessing to the team. So he's going to be working with us rest of the week as well. Cool. Anything else you want to say, Jim?
Just God bless America, man. Y'all stand strong, man. The Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
But pray without ceasing. Do good by your fellow man. We're all human beings. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But today is the first day of the rest of your life. So take heed to that. Help anybody that you can. Give them a blanket. Give them a sandwich. Let's go back to the bartering thing. I'm like a lot of you people out there as well. I'm anti-government, you know. I am. I think the government has twisted too much around. But we're not going to get into that. But I appreciate the interview.
So we're sending him up in the tree tonight, today, with his cross hat on now, right?
Cross hat. So retired the other one.
Now he's part of the team, and he's been a real blessing to us. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Coach.
Tree limb Jim. How about that one, huh? Okay, buddy, you too. So there you go, folks. I mean, a gift walks in the door, and you got to recognize it. Listen, you got gifts around you. You got to recognize them.
Dave.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is an appropriate time. You cannot watch what you just did. The men and women in this huddle and those that are listening not support the ministry. You just can't.
Amen. Listen. You guys, some of you may be out there saying, you gave him $100. I'm telling you, that guy did five. What he did yesterday was $500,000. Nobody could have done it. He climbed up that tree like a monkey, right? And I'll be honest with you. I'd have given him $100. I mean, he was down. I'd have given him $100. He told me he only had 60. He said, if you can help me. He said, it's my bill's $110. He said, I'll give you 60. He said, here, you can have the 60 that I have. So I felt him out a little bit. We came here at the time, perfect time for him, just the perfect time. And so, you can't, when he walked in, I thought he's homeless. Well, he is basically.
He is,
but he walked in, I thought, wow, what is this guy? But see, you got to recognize a gift when it walks into your life. Recognize it. Don't look at outward appearances. Saw God. The scars in his face. I saw it, you know? Yeah, Rod, go ahead.
God sent an angel instead.
It's amen. And if it's a mutual, he's going to be with us all week, man. He knows what he's doing. This dangerous work. Now, this guy beside me, Pete Lindblad, Pete's almost 70, and Pete's been a supporter of Past Assault Ministries for 15 years. And Pete reminded me that I met him maybe 15 years ago. Hadn't seen him every month. Support comes in. He called me last week. Called me earlier, and I didn't get the call. Said, I want to come up. So he came up. He hadn't been out on the field with us. He had a horrible night's sleep. When you go to church camp for adults, you don't get any sleep. And Pete, just what's your impression here, man? Being around these guys.
It's very good. Very, 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 what's the word? Fellowship is really great. I wish I felt better to enjoy it more because I didn't sleep. But anyway.
Pete also, his eyes are open, right? And his eyes are open and nobody else's eyes are open. He doesn't say, I don't even go to church anymore. It's like so many of us. I can't go in there and listen to that stuff.
No, it's not even the milk of the word, if you ask me, from at least when I left about 15 years ago. So
still loves the Lord, follows hard after the Lord, but just can't take that. You just can't take that.
Videos off, coach.
These are the guys that are out there. They're everywhere. Listen, keep your eyes open so you can see the gift when it walks in. Good.
I heard a quote that I think Charles, anyway, said, A.W. Tozer said, Christianity, now how long ago did he die? He said, if Christianity was medicine, it wouldn't heal anybody. And if it was, what was the other thing?
Jared's looking it up for him.
But anyway, if it was medicine, it wouldn't heal anybody. And if it was, I forgot the rest of it.
Pete's getting old.
Yeah. Not thinking too good this morning.
He's looking for.
Oh, okay. Well,
go ahead, Vinny. Or whoever that was. I thought it was Vinny.
Is it poison?
Poison.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. If it was poison, it wouldn't kill anybody. And if it was medicine, it wouldn't heal anybody. That's what it was. That's what it was. All right.
Yeah. So say hi to Pete. He's going to, who knows? He may have to drive back home today. He's down in Stuart, Florida, and he just came up and didn't sleep last night. I told him, just toughen up, man. Toughen up.
Yeah.
Get the rest of your life to sleep. You're gonna, when you die, you're going to be sleeping for a long time, man. In many churches, Christianity has been watered down until the solution is so weak that if it were poison, it would not hurt anyone, and if it were medicine, it would not cure.
And that's something.
And that's where.
That's all.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pete.
Hey, thanks, but anyway, okay. Hey,
Pete's never watched the show. He's been a supporter, never watched the show. We'll get him hooked. Go ahead.
Hey, coach.
Hey, George. Hey, George. Charles Jennings. That's where I get to know him. George, this guy here, George, knows Charles Jennings. So that's Pete.
Oh, Charles.
Yeah.
Charles, what a blessing. What a blessing he is. Hey, I'm just sitting here listening to the show this morning, and I've kind of put my businessman cap on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, coach, you've been to my property. I've got 60, 70 pecan trees, and I had to have some tree work done. Well, just to get one tree kind of a big rim down and all that, about $500, $600. And I'm sitting there thinking, coach, every dollar that people give to you for ministry, you use it wisely. You got a very skilled guy for $100. So I'm just saying that because I feel good about mine and Pam's ability to give to Pass the Salt because I know it's going to good use. And I'm just going to say this, the more people that dig deep and give, the more you can do, Coach. And I just appreciate you using it in a right way, because I know that's what you do.
I appreciate it, George. And then I'll hear people say, well, what? You just gave him $100. Hey, listen, folks, freely receive, freely give, right? When I hand somebody, if I hand him $100, it's on him. It ain't on me. It's on him.
Hey, Coach.
I could take you to that scripture where it says, lend and don't expect anything in return. Lend to everyone that asks and don't expect anything in return. So do I have a receipt for his $100? Well, maybe I don't. But there again, I'm equally yoked with the government. What business is it of them what I did with the Lord's money? Somebody, come on in here.
Well, yeah, Coach, you did. You got the receipt. You got to work for it.
That's right. It doesn't matter. I planted it anyway, didn't I? I planted it into a life anyway.
Right? Amen, brother. That's right. You didn't give a man a fish. You taught he was. He knows how to fish, but you just gave him the ability to fish. That's what you did.
That's right.
This ministry is our ministry, Dave.
It is. It is.
It's your ministry. You know what I'm saying? Man, this is our ministry. Mm-hmm. You tell me where you see you can participate like this, sitting in my kitchen table right now, seeing unbelievable. And I see man and woman there.
That's right.
Sitting there listening to this of what is happening, cutting some trees down. It's just unbelievable. I'm not just saying that. My heart is touched by the openness of you, Dave, and the men down there, and you being aware, your eyes open.
Yes, sir. I was telling the guys this morning, Roger, this is the way I've lived my life. And I'm not making this up. As a football coach, when I would walk in, if I'm sitting at a cafeteria in a high school, it doesn't matter where it is. Every boy that walks through that door, I size up. I thought, man, there's an outside linebacker. Man, there's a nose guard. And I'm still doing that in the lives of men. When a guy walks into the door, I immediately look at him and say, golly, what's his gifting? What's his gifting? We can use him. The Lord gave him a skill. What is it? And listen, I wouldn't have hired Tree Limb Jim if the Holy Spirit hadn't dropped him right in the – I'm telling you, where we went yesterday, we could not have done that job. Had the Lord not had him walk in here and ask for a cup of coffee. It is amazing. Then immediately he starts using that J word, that Jesus word, not God. Started rattling a little bit of scriptures off at me. I may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. I said, this is a keeper. They dropped something right here in my lap, right? So you guys that are watching right now, what's your gifting? And who's plugging you in? Is there anybody out there that's recognizing your gifting? And say, man, the guys are starving in church because they're there to serve the church and serve the pastor. Well, that's all well and good, but that ain't how it's supposed to work, man. It isn't supposed to work that way. And that's what I'm just saying, the dynamic here with these guys when they get together and as they loosen up a little bit. And then they know they can trust you and things they begin to say. And it is our ministry. And boys, it is effective. I'm just telling you. It's good soil. It's good ground. It's effective. Okay. Let me jump to something else here. Jared, I think I sent you, I kind of messed up on my emails this morning. Jared, pull that one up there from Tony in New Zealand. You want to, these are the kind of things that continue to blow me away. This is what we're all part of. We are part of something, guys, we're part of something bigger than we understand. Jared's got it up. I got this email this morning. It's a bunch of pictures here. Hey guys, I don't know if you can see it. There's a Truth Sounds Like Hate shirt in New Zealand. Do you see that guy stand up? See it? See him? Jared, go to another picture. Abortion is murder. Is there another picture you can pull up there, Jared? I'll give him a second. Okay. Because he sent me, I just opened up my email this morning and there it is. Now, he's 18 hours behind us. He says, hey, Coach. Once again, thanks for your encouraging show. Man, it's good. We love hooking up with you in the huddle each weekday. We were at it again on this weekend, NZ March for Life. The march itself was, as Vinny would say, ridiculous, sickly PC. I don't think these guys even want to stop abortion in this country. It was more of an outing for them. We're murdering our kids, and they want to love everyone. Our signs upset the organizers. Can you believe that? they first ask us to go back, to go to the back of the crowd, followed by asking us to take the signs down. I'm guessing it's just too political for them. You guessed it. They were not coming down. So here are a few photos for you. You probably need to understand that here in Kiwi land, it's New Zealand, not Aussie land, tiny kangaroo down sport. I got the wrong country. It is against the law in New Zealand to smack children, to spank a child. It's against the law, Tony says. This is sign they're holding is to somehow stop child abuse. So go figure that one out. As a parent, let me move this over here, I'm sorry. It says, as a parent, teacher, or coach, for that matter, it's an offense to physically discipline yours or anyone else's child for misbehavior. So our banner tried to point out the hypocrisy of this law with the planned liberation of abortion. So here he is. You can't murder your kids, but you can't. You can murder your kids, but you can't smack them. New Zealand Salt Light Brigade. Look, Jesus, this Jesus is the Truth t-shirt right there. Only five of us made the journey with my brother Pete, traveling 11 hours. Yes, New Zealand's big enough to drive. One good thing is a longtime Catholic friend, Stefan, came along. He had his eyes open. He said he could see the phony church at play, whimpering out on yet another moral issue. His life has been lit up as he begins to understand that he's been lied to and takes some active Christianity, now red-pilled. Wow, he's the guy holding the sign on the right. This is one I thought you would love. Your buddy Simon Owen, the golfer, was with us. He has become not only a good friend but a beacon of light to us, although he still hasn't given me any golf lessons yet. He says, here you go. Picture says 1,000. So he gave us some pictures. So look at there. There's Simon wearing his, how about that, cross hat in New Zealand. The girl's holding the sign, I speak for my baby who couldn't speak 23 years ago, I think it says on it. And Simon's got one says abortion, one dead, one wounded. See, she says, I still miss my baby after 26 years. Wow. Boys. New Zealand says, we're looking forward to a big year in 2019 as we gather a base group to plan for a huddle on our hometown's abortion clinic. And who knows, we may even get you here for a huddle yet. Enjoy the picture. Still sold out for Jesus. Unbelievable, isn't it? Jared, can you show their Salt and Light Brigade New Zealand's insignia? I think it's here somewhere. It doesn't matter. There it is. Salt and Light, New Zealand. Cool, huh?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last night on Pastor Sanders' program, Mrs. David Porter, Janet Folger Porter, was on.
Right.
Oh, and she was really on the warpath, I guess, with the Ohio Senate and the heartbeat bill. It's going to committee today at 9:30, and she says their plans are to kill the heartbeat bill with an amendment.
We're not surprised, though, are we? Are we surprised? Because, again, as you know, we're asking politicians to do what the church is supposed to be doing. Until the church and the pastors are more concerned about babies than there are the Pastor Protection Act, we're going to get more of the same.
Well, Dave, I wanted to say something along those lines. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Trump out there, remember, I think we remember back a few shows we were talking about where I was talking about that Trump had addressed 1,000 of the evangelical leaders of this country, and he told them, you know, I want to take away the 503C, and no one clapped, right?
That's right. That's right. That's
well,
right.
So he went, and he went to them again, and he says, what is it that you want? Do you want abortion ended? Do you want same-sex marriage in it? And you know what they said? They said, no, we want Jerusalem to be the capital in Israel.
Is that right, Chad?
That's what they said.
There you are. That's what we're dealing with, right, folks? Unbelievable, man.
And he delivered.
And he delivered. He delivered to him. Yep. He delivered. Unbelievable. Theology matters, doesn't it? It does matter.
So but again, the problem is the pulpit. That's the problem.
That's right. Hey, Jared, pull up Matthew 17, verse 24. This I'm really caught, folks. My foot's caught in a trap. My foot's caught in that unequally yoked trap. And I'm going to say this again so that you people understand this. I don't know how to make this more clear. Verse 24, this is Matthew 17, that's verse 23. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tax money came to Peter and says, "Hey, Pete, does Jesus pay taxes?" Now, listen, if somebody thinks I'm misreading this, please come in here, please. And Pete says, "Well, of course, he's a good patriot. Of course he does." And when he was come unto the house, Jesus pulled him over and said, "What the heck are you saying, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers?" And Peter thought for a minute, and he says, "Well, Lord, they charge tariffs on strangers. They don't tax their own people. They charge tariffs on strangers." And Jesus said, "You got her, dude. God's children are free." So say what you want to. But then they'll look, watch this. He's a politician. He says, "So notwithstanding, or just in case, we don't want to offend them. In other words, we don't want them arresting me and hanging me because I didn't pay my taxes. We don't want them doing that. So that's not a fight worth having right now," he said. And says, "So we can just satisfy them. Go out there into the sea, cast out a hook, take up a fish, and when you come out, there's going to be a quarter in there, a dollar, silver dollar. You go give that to them. Then they'll find a piece of money, take it, and give it to them for me and for you." He said, "You go do that." But he says, "I want you to understand something. The kids, the king's children are free." And how are we in bondage today? How have they locked us up? You say the word. I don't have to say it. They take our money and do all types of ungodly things with it. Why? Because we're unequally yoked. That hit a nerve with anybody? Because, yeah. Hey, boys, listen, the Bible's either true or it's not. Say, "Oh, so what? You're against taxes? You're not a patriot?" Say what you want. I'm loyal to the Lord. I'm loyal to the Lord. And there wasn't an income tax in America till what, 1913?
That's right. The infamous year. We got the Federal Reserve. We got corporations given the rights of men. We got the fraudulent 16th Amendment. What did you do?
Great, great deception has come upon us, fellas. I'm saying this because I'm telling you. Most of us still don't get it. We are on the verge of the most cataclysmic social upheaval in the history of America. I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening. It's right at our door. It's right in our midst. And I'm not here to lead it. I'm here to tell you it is coming. Are you guys watching what's going on over in France? Are you watching that? You really think that's about gasoline taxes? You really think that's what it's about? No. It's about liberty. It's about individual liberty. And are men supposed to be in a yoke of bondage to the government? Are we? And Jared, you can hang on. I got a couple videos that I can show on that. That's not really what I wanted to show. Let me go back to my stuff here. Let me ask you a question. Here's a good, what time is it? Oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? Hey, Jared, go to Webster's 1828. And as Jared goes to Webster's 1828 dictionary, I want you to ask yourself this. If you were to explain to somebody who just descended upon the earth, or just, I don't know, somebody popped out of a spacecraft and they came walking up to you and they said, "What's the values of America? What do you people in America live by? Dare I say this? What is your culture?"
Make money.
Jared, go to Webster. What does Webster say about culture? Culture. It's a noun. the application, well, first is the act of tilling, preparing the earth for crops, cultivation, the application of labor and other means of improvement, culture. The application of labor, other means to improve good qualities in or growth as the culture of the mind or the culture of virtue. The application of labor or other means in producing as the culture of corn or grass. Any labor or means employed for improvement, correction, or growth. So we hear of a cultural war in America. Hey, somebody help me here. What's the American culture? If we were going to start over again right now, we said, here's the rules and regulations. What would be the popular vote? What would be our real rules? Somebody help me out here. Because unless the foundations are strong, let the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Can somebody explain to me the American culture as opposed? Because listen, I'm going to tell you something. Christians see it one way, and the devil's kids see it another way. And that's the clash that's coming. That's the cultural clash that's coming. What is the American culture? Roger said earning money. Anybody else? What is it? What's our culture? Is there a right and wrong?
Coach.
Yeah.
You just proved the word culture with Three Limb Jim. Took some of that money, put him to work. That's the culture. So today, I'm going to send you one day's wages and a check for Three Limb Jim. We could all help that. That'd be great.
That's right. And he ain't looking for a handout, right? So what? So what's the call? What's the call? Hey, so see, Three Limb Jim understands the culture. What was the American culture? What was the American culture? Well, let's all give to people who don't work. Was that the culture? Let's take money from everybody and give it to people who don't produce anything. Is that the American culture? Hey, Roger, is that the American culture? You go work hard, you raise a lot of money, and then you give your money to people who don't do a damn thing. Is that the American culture? Is that what it's supposed to be? And ask yourself this. Which side of this aisle is the church on? What's the culture in the church? In regards, does the church say you don't work, you don't eat? Jesus said that. Paul said that.
No, the church says
that.
Church says their responsibility has been dumped on the government.
Mm-hmm. They pay taxes so that those who won't work don't starve.
The system is designed, free enterprise capital. Designed to be a Kid Rock. Kid Rock makes some money. He then goes and helps his fellow man at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
We've allowed to happen as we have totally destroyed the inner feeling of man that is God given to take care of their fellow man.
Amen. Amen. Or as JR would say, the family, right? The family.
We have destroyed the emotion that God gives to those that are blessed. For us to bless others. And then when you are taxed at 45 or 50%, it is easy to say, I've done my share because government takes care of them. Then we kill the work ethic. The work ethic is not about money. The work ethic is about making yourself feel productive and good, and then you move on and you prosper.
Mm-hmm. And so what are we doing, Roger, to further destroy the culture? We're bringing into America, opening our borders to people coming in who have no idea what the American culture is. You know why that is? Because we as individuals, we can't even explain it anymore. We can't. What? You say, what? Got to work to eat? Are you kidding me? Work to eat? No, come on in here, Mexicans. Come on in here, Hondurans. Come on in here. We'll provide everything for you. Boys and girls, that ain't American culture. That's a different culture. That's a different set of beliefs in society, see? And the only ones, so we have been so duped. The Bible says, Jared, pull it up there. Let me find, I'm going to be able to find it. Matthew, hang on a minute. I'm going to find it. I think I put it in here. Matthew 7, no, that wasn't it. The Bible says to lend to whoever asks of you. Lend. And ask not in return. Is that Luke 7? Can somebody find that for me real quick? Okay. But not give. Lend. Now, with the expectation that it's going to come back. Now, chances are pretty good it ain't coming back. When you lend, you don't expect it to come back. Not from a Christian worldview. Not from a Christian point of view. That's why when you give somebody something, rarely should you say, I'm lending it to you. Because there are... See, when I... If I lend you money, I now put you under bondage. Do you understand that? I lend you the money. Now I got a yoke on you, right? We don't see it that way, but that's the way it's supposed to be. No, no, you're supposed to lend and not ask for it back. Why? Because in a Christian society, everybody's working and doing the best they can. And if you have a friend that needs money, it's because he's down on hard times. It ain't a way of life for him. Do you understand the difference?
Did we not learn anything from the pilgrims from day one? From day one, it didn't work till they said, you're all going to work or you're not going to eat. That is the only thing that saved them.
Amen.
Amen.
So look, Luke 6. I'm telling you this. I hate reading this because it just goes against everything I want to believe. Give to verse 30. Give to every man that asks of thee. Huh? Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not back. And as you would that men should do to you, do likewise unto them. For if you love them which love you, what the heck's the big deal? You're a Christian. What's the big deal about that? Sinners also love those that love them. And if you do only good to those who do good to you, well, what's the big deal about that? Sinners do that. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what's the big deal about that? Sinners do that exact same thing. But you love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Boy, oh boy, that'll set your theology upside down, won't it? Huh? Whoo! Went silent on me out there. It went silent. So I'm trying to drag you back here, kicking and screaming to the American culture. Have we lost the American culture or not? We can't even explain it. We can't even define it. You know what the American culture is, Tree Limb Jim? Work and you get paid. Work and you eat. That's the American culture. But see, in the society, we have to understand where Jesus is talking about. There was no welfare system. Everybody was working. So if a guy didn't have anything, maybe he'd fallen on hard times. Hey, boys and girls, hard times ain't supposed to be a way of life. Government dependency isn't supposed to be a way of life. Welfare isn't supposed to be a way of life. Church providing food for you isn't supposed to be a way of life. It's a stopgap. So we're bringing across the border hundreds of thousands of people who don't share our culture.
Don't share work ethic.
They don't understand it. And so they're saying, you mean to tell me I can get across the border and live free? Yeah, let me at it.
Who would give that up willingly? Who would say no to that?
Why would we? Okay, listen, I gotta wrap it up with this today. Okay, because this is what happened to us. Jared, go down there real quickly to PragerU, the most five most powerful people in the world. I think David sent me this. I'm not sure. This is 5 minutes. This is a great 5 minutes to end on because this is where we are. The most powerful people in the world. This was done by PragerU. It's 5 minutes. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
If someone suggested to you that Americans should reject representative government and return to the rule of kings, you would laugh. This is America, you would say. In our revolution, we got rid of monarchy. And of course, you'd be right, but only to a point. Monarchy is making a comeback, though not in the way you think. Let me explain. A king is one person. Get rid of him, and you might get your freedom back. But what do you do when the nation has come to be controlled by thousands of little kings, almost supreme in their specialized fiefdoms, who have vast power over your life, much as a king might? Good question, because that's what we're up against. This regime is called the administrative state. Its little kings are unelected bureaucrats, officially known as administrators, secretaries, or even czars. And make no mistake, they are very powerful. Their decisions affect us every day. The FDA, the FCC, the SEC, and so on and so on. Put together almost any three or four random letters, and chances are you've stumbled on a government agency. These agencies and the people in them shape our lives, often for the worse. Many farmers in California lost their livelihoods because the Fish and Wildlife Service decided that the Delta smelt, a tiny fish, was more important than the farmer's water supply. That decision may have been right or it may have been wrong. My point is simply that the decision should have been made by our lawmakers who are accountable to us at the next election. Those farmers are among the millions of hardworking people directly hurt by the administrative state. And many more millions have been indirectly hurt, such as all those discouraged from even starting a business by miles of bureaucratic red tape. This is not an argument against government regulation per se, but against regulation imposed by bureaucrats rather than by our elected lawmakers, whom we can hold accountable at the next election. Here's the larger danger. As bureaucracy grows, individual freedom diminishes. How did we get into this mess? And more importantly, how do we get out of it? America's founders recognized the problem. They didn't like being told what to do by people they hadn't voted for. They built all kinds of protections into the U.S. Constitution, starting with its very first line after the preamble. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. All legislative powers, not some. This means only Congress can make the nation's laws. Congress thus cannot divest itself of that power to a bureaucracy. And that's how America operated for most of its first 100 years. This changed when many Americans, such as Woodrow Wilson, fell in love with centralized bureaucratic power. Wilson was a university professor before he moved into politics and eventually became president in 1912. A self-described progressive reformer, he was impatient for power. He wasn't interested in persuading the American people to come over to his point of view. That would take too long. So instead, he aimed to shift lawmaking power out of Congress and into the hands of a professional class of government workers, in other words, bureaucrats. Franklin Roosevelt, who served in Wilson's cabinet, perfected his mentor's vision when he became president. For him, as for Wilson, there were few problems that administrative power couldn't solve. FDR's presidency produced an alphabet soup of new government programs that vastly expanded the administrative state, and since then it has grown even more dramatically. Congress still passes laws, but it leaves it to the bureaucracy to fill in the gaps, and these gaps can be enormous. Consider, for example, the Affordable Care Act of 2009, what came to be known as Obamacare. The bill itself was over 2,500 pages, but Congress left much unspecified, so career government officials, elected by no one, went to work. And by 2013, there were an additional 10,000 pages of regulations. So how do we rein in these faceless monarchs? First, Congress should actually do its job and take responsibility for the laws it passes. Don't hold your breath. But they at least could do this. Congress should end legal immunity for bureaucrats who abuse their power. If they know they can be sued, they'll be a lot more sober about imposing rules others have to live by. Second, the courts should do their job. They must follow the law. That means protecting our constitutional freedoms, including our right to representative government. No more bureaucratic rulemaking. And finally, we have to do our job. We must assert our freedom in conversation, on the web, and in the courts. We don't want to be ruled by a king or thousands of little kings. As the founders would have said, no regulation without representation. I'm Philip Hamburger, professor of law.
Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the spirit of the Lord is not, there's tyranny. Folks, listen. I gotta run. Crowd's ready to go eat. They're looking at me. There's an upheaval coming. Tyranny and liberty are on a collision course. And so much of our lives is controlled by those who have no control over us other than the fact that we've granted it. You're saying, Coach, are you calling for a civil uprising? No, I'm not calling for one. I'm announcing one's coming. Look around. It's going on everywhere. And so we're going to have to choose, you and I, individuals, we're going to have to decide what role are we going to play when the spirit of the evil one is all about tyranny. When that spirit becomes so big that it's going to crush your very freedoms, what is your stance going to be? And what's the old saying? boy, oh boy, if I knew then what I knew now, I would never have let them get away with it. That's where we are, right in the midst of it. What a time to be alive. Yes, sir.
Give me death, brother.
Huh?
Give me death, brother.
Give me liberty or give me death, brother. Death's coming for sure, right? Are we going to be able to hang on to this thing we call liberty?
Absolutely.
And can we hang on to this thing called liberty apart from Jesus Christ? I say no. I got to run. God bless you. Don't miss John Hartz's testimony, Ma. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.